Thank you, Mr. Parman. Before services, when I was reviewing my notes, a certain friend of mine, whose name will remain anonymous, Bob, came up to me and he said, "Break a leg." I said, "Well, that's better than telling me to swallow a frog." In the past 30 years of marriage, I have amazed my wife. Some of you may not find that particularly interesting, I don't know. In the past year or so, I have puzzled my mother. Of course, that's been going on now for 60-some years, but a little more so this last year or so. It all gelled this past week as I thought about the meaning of Independence Day and the national heritage it has given us as a people. Independence Day, we look at too often as a day of recreation, a day of fireworks and celebrations and barbecues and that kind of thing. Not that any of that is particularly wrong. But we often forget about, pass over, and ignore the deeper significance of Independence Day. Now, Independence Day is the holiday. It happens to follow or fall on July the 4th. It could be July the 7th or the 10th or whatever, but Congress made it July the 4th. But Independence Day is the holiday, the day that we celebrate independence. We forget about the significance of this document here, which is a copy of our Declaration of Independence that I printed off the internet. We forget about this document here, again, a copy of our Constitution. Our national heritage of self-government, of the freedoms that have been given to us through the Bill of Rights, etc., oftentimes we just pass over and concentrate on the barbecues and the fireworks. Now, some of you may be asking, well, why has this amazed my wife? Or how has this puzzled my mother? Well, that's not exactly what has amazed my wife or puzzled my mother. It started off when my wife and I were married 30-some years ago by my fascination with her family and her relations with her family. They have a fairly close family where all the cousins knew all the cousins, who knew all the uncles, who knew all the aunts and the grandmothers and everybody else. That's not the case in my family. My family is spread out all over half of creation, and we were never close. To her, it was no big deal to have a close family. In fact, sometimes it was a pain to get together with all the cousins and the aunts and the uncles and all that. But my family has been more or less estranged for their entire existence. What has puzzled my mother is that many decades ago, my grandfather decided to leave his hometown of Lincoln, Nebraska, and move to Kansas City. He got married. He had children. He had my uncle, which was William Edwin Poe, my mother, and my mother's sister, Betty. And I hadn't thought too much about my family just because my aunt was in Sioux City, I was in Missouri, and my uncle was somewhere in the world and surrounding areas in the Air Force. But a year and a half ago, something happened. Something that just brought this to me. Simply, my uncle died. And he was estranged from the family, from my mother, and from his sister. For decades, we hadn't heard from him or anything else. But because of one biblical principle or two, which we'll look at, we found out about it. Turn over to Proverbs 17, if you would, please. Proverbs 17. Verse 17 says, "A friend loves at all times, and a brother is born for adversity." Now, if you'll just look more or less across the page on chapter 18, verse 24, it says, "A man who has friends must himself be friendly, and there is a friend who sticks closer than a brother." Well, my uncle, who was in the Air Force and last stationed in Washington, D.C. in the Pentagon, had very close friends. Very close. They were charged with taking care of his final things. Anyway, heritage is property that descends to an heir, something transmitted by or acquired from a predecessor. Now, when this friend of mine, or my uncle's, called, talked to my wife, he told us about my uncle. And the only thing that I was really interested in, more for my mother's sake than mine, was the flag from my uncle's coffin. Well, what happened? I got 70 pounds of my uncle's worldly goods. His first wife had died, his daughter had been killed in an accident, and his second wife had died just a few months before him. So there was nothing left of the Colonel Bill Poe family. I've got, or had, all of it. So all of a sudden, I'm in possession of this man's entire life. Pictures, books, memorabilia, awards, the whole thing. Our national and family heritages anchor us and connect us to the past. They connect us to the present and to the future. If you'll notice on the front of your bulletin, I had this in mind when I did the bulletin, are pictures of what I tried to represent as a family from olden times progressing through to a new couple with a new baby. We happen to have some people here that have new babies, or fairly new. But these folks have, just by illustration, progressed through. They have passed on their heritage. Heritage includes race, culture, family, our genealogical history, our faith, and our religion, which, by the way, is the most volatile of all these components. I've, in fact, on the internet, traced my family name all the way back to 1767 in North Carolina. It's amazing what you can do on the internet. Thayer said, "As our families, so is society. If well ordered, well instructed, and well governed, they are the springs from which go forth the streams of national greatness and prosperity, civil order, and public happiness." Is heritage important to God and to our faith? Well, look in the book of Genesis. There is the genealogical records of Adam, of Noah, of Abraham, clear through Joseph. In Exodus, we find Aaron and Levi being given a heritage in Israel. In Numbers, we know that Numbers is the counting of Israel, and it is this family and this family and this family. In the New Testament, Jesus Christ's genealogical history is recited a couple of times. We look in today's world. The Jews have kept their racial and religious heritage over the millennia, at least to one degree or another. Most of them at least know they are Jews. Even if they're not religious, they may be secular. I work with several of them. But if you look at the Jews versus the 10 tribes of Israel, Where are they? Well, we know, we've got literature telling us that. But if we didn't have that, where would they be? You see, Israel was assimilated into the cultures of the world. They were assimilated by the surrounding cultures and the conquering cultures. They basically disappeared from sight. Not that their traditions and histories totally disappeared, there are records, but for a comparison between Jews and the 10 tribes, they disappeared. Each of us has a heritage to preserve, whether it is national, whether it is cultural, or whether it is family. What is important? What is the most important? Well, it's the one given to us by God. Let's turn over to Hebrews 1, if you would, please. Hebrews 1. Hebrews 1, and we'll look at verses 1 and 2. God, who at various times and in various ways spoke in time past to the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken to us, you and I, by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, through whom also he made the worlds. So he has spoken to us through his Son. Because of Jesus Christ, because of who he is and what he has done, we can have faith. Because of the word and the testimony that has been left us, he is given to the prophets and the apostles and the New Testament church, we have and can have faith. In Romans 14, verse 13, it says, "For the promise that he would be the heir of the world was not to Abraham or to his seed through the law, but through the righteousness of faith." That same quality that each one of us can have. So as a closing thought, let's turn over to Galatians. Galatians chapter 3, verse 29. If you are Christ's, then you are Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. And if you look just in the next column in my Bible, chapter 4, if you would start at verse 4 and go on through, but we're only going to pick out verses 6 and 7. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your hearts, crying out, Abba, Father. And therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, an heir of God through Christ. So we are heirs. Our heritage is from God. Now, though this sounds grand and great and wonderful, there are lessons, though, that we need to learn. We need to learn that we can lose our heritage simply by being assimilated by a world full of evil and perverse culture. We can lose our inheritance if we dabble with the world and its ways. We could become like the 10 tribes and disappear from the face of the earth. Let's not become part of the evil culture of the world, but hold on to our inheritance.